And a happy Mother's Day to all you moms here today. What a blessing you are to our life. She owed me a hug later. I thought today I'd begin with a few momisms. Guy wrote this. He entitled it "What I Owe My Mother," and the byline is "Momisms." My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. Here's what she would say to me. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about religion. She said, "You better pray that this comes out of the carpet." My mother taught me about time travel. Now, what could that be? If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week. My mother taught me about logic. You do it because I said so, that's why. That's so logical. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Think about it. My mother taught me about foresight. And I know every one of you have said this to your kids. Make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you get in an accident. My mother taught me about irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. And finally, man, y'all are slow. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. Probably the two most famous passages in Scripture, relationships of mother and son, first and foremost, is Mary with Jesus. And the other is Hannah and Samuel. So if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel. And I keep changing you up here where I don't put it on the screen because I really would like for you to bring your Bible with you when you come on Sunday. And if you haven't gone back and looked and didn't look at them on a daily basis, the daily guides that were sent out this week that Rick wrote on the family and on family values, they are superb. They are superb. And if you hadn't done them yet, that'd be a good thing this evening, this afternoon, sometime you have a chance. Go to your mailbox, your email box, look in there, and go back and read through those. They are superb. The title of today's message is What a Mom Needs for Survival, Her Survival Kit. I want to read from the first chapter of 1 Samuel, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a certain man from Mathathiam Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. Thank God for phonics. As I've always taught people to pronounce words, pronounce them with authority, and then they think that you're pronouncing them correctly. But I will pronounce them inevitably phonetically, though sometimes that's not Hebrew pronunciation. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, But Hannah had no children. Already a problem in the Jewish society. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship, sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. And by the way, they were bad news. There's a later story about them. They were each of them a piece of work in their own right. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly. He's gone from being the other woman now to the rival. Would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, and she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly. She made a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come upon his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought that she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. See the beautiful imagery there? Beautiful. Do not consider your maidservant a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And so the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, think on that. Her sadness has been lifted. She's already received the blessing. The Lord gave his blessing through Eli. Eli is imperfect as he was. Then they arose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord, and they returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived, she gave birth to a son, and she called him Shemuel, Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord, meaning of his name there, because I have asked, literally, ask of the Lord. That's what it says. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice, pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I'll not go up until the child is weaned. Then I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. You know, those are wise words that a man spoke. Several of you men want to practice that today. Do what seems best to you, darling. Okay. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull, one ephah of... of flour, that's about 7.5 gallons, and a jug of wine, a skin, literally a skin of wine, large amount of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. These three things being together is out of the old consecration. It's a consecration offering. She is consecrating he is consecrating this time, this child before the Lord. And then they slaughtered the bull. They brought the boy to Eli, and she said, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The beautiful thing about this story is if you read the rest of his life and you see the life of Samuel and how God used Samuel in a powerful way. But he had a powerful beginning. Every child is from God. But this child, even before his conception, had the anointing upon him. And from his mother. Now, from this story was some things that a mom needs to know in order to survive these days. Any of you moms here, any of you women who have contact with children, some of you are not physical moms, but you have a lot of child responsibilities in your life. Do you ever have any challenges? Is it ever difficult? Here's some things from the story I think that'll help you today. First of all, being a mom is a very human experience. There are no perfect moms. There's no perfect story. And this story is not perfect. The characters in the story, even the mother of Yeshua was not perfect, was she? In fact, we see Mary did not understand Jesus on many occasions. She didn't know. In fact, she would just back off and she would just treasure the things in her heart. She didn't understand it. Emotions could run on raw edge at times. And moms can have those raw edge emotions. Can I get a witness today? Hannah experienced these very human things. Think of what she experienced. Childlessness. How many of you, don't put your hands up, but how many of you have experienced that in your life, wanting a child and not being able to have a child? And maybe some of you experience the other part. You have the child and you think, God, why did you give me this child? You're on both sides of that equation. Jealousy, frustration, joy, sadness, intrigue, competition, insecurity. Think of all the things that were there, those family dynamics. Shemuel came into the world amidst much love and much challenge. It was not a perfect world that he came into. Your children do not come into a perfect world. Secondly, children bring heartaches, don't they? You know, what's that old saying in our society and in our southern culture? You know, when they're little, they step on your what? Your toes. And when they get older, they step on your what? Yeah, you got it. You got it. Just the fact that they're children in a hostile world can bring heartache because you want to protect them, don't you? You want to shield them from all that would come against them. As they grow in new arenas and they're growing up, you want to protect them because you as a parent, you as a mom, you know what is waiting on them. Unfulfilled hopes and dreams can become a heartache also. Sometimes our imposing our hopes and dreams upon them can be a heartache. just allowing them to grow up can be painful. Even when you don't have a child, Hannah knew the heartache of not having a child. She eventually brought Samuel to be of service to the Lord, a step she had promised. There she was when Eli came and spoke to her. And I want you to know, that those of you who've not read the full story, you don't know about Eli. Eli was something else, but he was legitimate. He did not have the gift of discernment. You know, he thinks she's drunk when she's there praying. But when he prays, God honors that prayer. God honored that prayer. And he prays that blessing, and she gets up from prayer. As she was praying, Eli came into agreement where she gets up from that prayer, and a burden had been lifted. There is no way that having children cannot pain your heart in some way. Just get ready. It's part of life. Third, there is a battle for your home. As a mom, you face that battle every day against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Devil himself has set out to destroy our children, destroy our society, destroy your husband through temptation, destroy your way of life, to stand in the way of everything that is good. And you look at all of the means by which the evil one has come against the home in our society. And even right now, this debate, there's no debate with God, but this thing about the definition of marriage that is being attacked, that is wrong. There's no other way to cut it. It's a man and a woman that makes a marriage. It's not anything else is sin. It is outside of God's desire and His design. And we have seen historically through history and from God's Word that every time a society moves in that direction, there is destruction waiting upon them. There is a battle, and we feel it. We feel it personally. You feel the battle for your own children personally. We've got to be prepared to do battle and do battle in the Lord's way. Peninnah, the other woman, had provoked Hannah because of her barrenness. There was strife there in the home. There was a daily battle for her just to keep her sanity. Think about the torment that she's going through every day as she sees these other children growing up, and here she is barren. Barrenness in that society was a sign that God had left you. Imagine living with that. We've got to fight the battle. And where did she fight the battle? We see it there as she is pouring her heart out before the Lord. She was battling in prayer. The most powerful place you can be in connection with the Lord and His truth. A fourth thing, things moms need to know. You're passing on a heritage to your children. Right or wrong, you're passing on a way of life to them. They're watching you every day. And it's not so much that, you know, the most of what you're teaching, you never know that you're teaching it. You say, well, these are things consciously I want them to know. But there's those other hours during the day that they're just watching you. They're watching how you react. They're watching how you deal with life, how you walk with the Lord. Now imagine what Samuel had seen in his mom and with his dad also. Bathed in prayer. He was literally born out of the prayers of his mother. He passed on a rich heritage. He received a rich heritage from his mother. A fifth thing, There's hope in the gift of motherhood. A mom can't see down the road all the things that are going to happen in the child's life. But what can they see? They can see the one who can see down the road and pray and come in agreement with Him about our children. A miracle happens every time a child is conceived. You know, we're young and we think, oh, and we thought that, oh, we can just have a child anytime we want to have a child. How true is that? It's a miracle. I mean, for a child to be born, for a child to be conceived, do you know what's got to line up physiologically in every other way? But for that to happen, it's a miracle. Hope is all through this story. Hannah had not lost her hope. Her hope was in the Lord. Now listen to me closely. And for some of you right now, maybe some of you have adult children that you're concerned about. Don't lose your hope. Stay at it. Because the way God brought them, bathed in prayer, is the way that He's going to continue that. Stay in hope. Continue to give your children to the Lord. Continue to say, Lord, here they are. We're coming to you again. And even as Hannah, she gave Samuel there, she dropped him off. He's just a little boy. And she drops him off. She leaves him there to grow up there and to be mentored and to grow up to become one of the judges of Israel and to be a man of God. But I want to ask you, do you think she quit praying that day? Oh, no. They increase. Her hope grew as her faith grew. And number 6, help is on the way. God hears your prayer. You may think sometime when you're praying for your children, Lord, are you deaf? I mean, look what's going on with them. Look how they're thinking, God. I don't get it. Look at me. You know, look at my husband. That child came from us. And maybe some of you who have younger children, you hadn't thought that yet. But let me tell you, that thought will be in your mind sometime along the way, if you're honest. God does not leave us helpless. He is with us. God's plan of deliverance was already on the way before Hannah even knelt to pray at Shiloh. When she knelt to pray there, listen to me, she came into agreement with what God was already planning to do. Just remember that. As you're praying these prayers out, don't ever, fancify yourself with the idea that you thought this up about how you should pray for your children. No, what you're doing, you're praying. The Holy Spirit is praying through you as you're coming there into agreement with what God designs and desires for your children. It was already God's plan that Samuel would be born. This man who would become a great instrument of God. We come into agreement with His plan when we pray. So, Here's some practical steps for you. First and foremost, as a mom, you need to give your life to the one who made all mothers. The one who came up with the idea of motherhood. God, who is creator and sustainer of us all. Faith and trust in Him. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus today? I tell you, in my life, the relationship that I saw that my mother had with the Lord, and then later when my dad became a Christian, but I got to see that on a daily basis in my life. The people who taught me the Word of God initially, all the stories in Scripture was my mother and my grandmothers. They were there, reading the Bible to me, telling me the stories, showing me. Secondly, you need to give your children to the Lord. Put them in His hands. It's very tempting to think that you've got a better idea about what the agenda for them needs to be. It's very tough to go from this with your children to this. That's an act of faith. But not only do you need to give your children to God, you need to give God to your children. Show them the way. Model a relationship. Here's what it looks like. Introduce them to the Lord. Let them see. And that means warts and all. That's not this, plasticky, happy all the time. Da, da, da. That's what a relationship with Jesus is about. That's a lie, isn't it? Because sometimes there are difficult things you're going through. And it's hard. Let them see the laughter and the weeping in the relationship. When in doubt, what should you do? Love. Love. Be like Jesus. Lead with His love. And when you're not in doubt, what should you do? Love some more. Love is something you do. Make it intentional. And finally, bathe it in prayer. Let every child go forth from you, dripping with prayers. When my mom was in the hospital, a little over a year ago, and struggling with cancer, sitting there by her bed and listening to her. We're very close, been all very close, very close with my parents, been that way all my life. Sometimes when I'm counseling, I can do it because I've heard the stories, but I can't do it because I know it firsthand. I don't know anything about being abandoned. I don't know anything about being not loved. I don't know anything about not being bathed in prayer in my life. I've not experienced that. I've been blessed by the Lord in that. But listening to my mother, as she talked about prayer and talked about praying for me and for my brother. Oh, man. I just welled up with thanksgiving. All those times, in my life, when I'm going through this or that, and maybe I thought I was keeping something from her. the Lord was revealing to her and was informing her prayer life about me. And I thank Him. I thank Him. I want to have a prayer. And today, maybe you'd like to spend just a few moments in meditation. We're not going to have an altar call today, a ministry time per se. But what I am going to ask you to do is that you'll spend some time thanking the Lord for your mother. And I know some of you, even as I say that, there's a few of you here, I don't think, but Dusty, I didn't really have a mom in my life. But maybe God gave you some other women in your life that filled that gap for you. Let's just thank the Lord for them right now. And truly, truly give praise to Him for them. Okay? Let's bow our heads. What is one thing that God brings to your memory that your mother showed you about the Lord? Lord, we thank You for our mothers and for those who filled that gap in our lives. And Lord, right now, I pray, Lord, that You would fill our hearts with thanksgiving for what You have given liberally. In Jesus' name, amen. Dane, where are you? Oh, good. Okay. We want to do something special that is our is one of our traditions here in our church for on Mother's Day, and they're coming in the back. Okay. No, we're not going to do any of that. I know you're people are so distrustful. For those of you who are a guest here and you've not seen this before, there are times when we've had the men bring the flowers in, and Kenny played the wedding march as they would bring them in. One of our traditions is to bring our children in, and I'd like for all of the adult women of our church to stand up, please, at this time. Moms and all adult women, because children, if you would make sure each one of these gets one of those flowers, okay? All right, you can go. Go. If you've got your bunch, all the ladies are standing up. Some going to the back there. Going to the back. Okay, some of y'all can go down here. Go down there. There we go. All right. Okay, the ones... Bring back the ones you have left over, and let's put them back in the bucket. Okay, ladies, y'all keep standing. Keep standing. And, all right. Yeah, give Mr. Dane the ones you have left over there. All right, does everyone have one now? All right, now, what we'd like for you to do is those of you that are around these ladies, and particularly if your children or grandchildren here, you need to find your mother or grandmother, and we're going to lay hands on these ladies right now. So let's do that right now. Let's go to where they are. Every one of these ladies needs to have somebody's hands on them right now. All right? Find the ones closest to you. Now let's pray. Lord, right now, we read it just a few moments ago. Eli came into agreement with Hannah's prayer. And Lord, there was power in that. Lord, I know every one of these women standing has a prayer on their heart for some child, some person in their life, Lord, that she has been instrumental in their lives. Lord, for these moms and these others who have been the surrogate moms in so many ways, God, we're coming into agreement with their prayer today. And we're asking you to meet those needs. Lord, some of these women right now are praying for children that haven't grown up yet, Lord. They've got much ahead. And God, we pray your blessing and protection on those children right now, that you would pour out your blessing through them. Some are praying for children that have strayed, Lord. And we're interceding for them right now and asking you to come and move in your power. Some are coming with great thanksgiving today, Lord, for all that they have seen you do through the children that you've entrusted them. And Lord, we join in thanksgiving for that prayer today. Blessings, honor, and glory to you. May your anointing be poured out right now upon these moms, upon these women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would go back to your seat just for a second. This week, I had a visit from my brother Kenny, and he came and shared with me, next Sunday, he will become the minister of music at the First Baptist Church of Garden City. And Kenny has been with us, this is his 19th, he and Paige's 19th year they're celebrating with us. I'm going to try not to cry. Where are you, Rick? There you go. I wanted to show you this. Can you read it? It says Duckhead. Right after Kenny and Paige came on with us, in 1993, I don't know if it was late 93 or early 94, Kenny and I went to a conference up in Atlanta. We heard Rick Warren and his minister music. They put on a church growth conference, and we went there, and he and I walked in, and all the people they were like in these little groups, and all of them had on the same shirt in the little group, the little pod. And they would have the name of their church or ministry on there. And I didn't notice it first, but Kenny said, "You know, look at all that." I said, "Don't you feel funny?" I said, "Yeah, I kind of feel like we don't fit." And then he looked down and he said, "But you know what? We're both from the Duckhead Church." And because we both had on Duckhead shirts. And so as the conference went on, when they'd ask us what church we're from, we said, "We're from the Duckhead Church." Well, the next morning I got up and I went out to get the paper. And this sign was on the front of my house, somewhere on the front of the house. And someone whose initials are Kenny Sellers had placed it there during the night, and I've kept it in my office all these years. That's been almost 19 years that we have. Kenny is one of my best friends in the world, and I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him on a weekly basis. But I want us, like we do every person who goes out from us, I want us to pray over he and Paige today as we send them out. First Baptist Church, Garden City, Brother Larry Spears is the pastor there. And I'm going to leave this up here, and I've got some Sharpies. And by the way, as you're going, we'd like to get those cards from you if you filled out a prayer card or if you have an offering to bring. I've got a couple of Sharpies up here, and I'd like for you to just write them a note on there. And John, you have something back there? A check? Okay. Well, we're going to give King Page a gift. And as we're going to invite them to come up and to pray for them, and we'd like for you to come and to lay hands on them as we send them out in the name of the Lord. And so, Kenny, Page, y'all would come on up. And come on, and those of you who'd like to come and lay hands on them at this time. Come on, Catherine, Clee. Kenny, Page, Catherine, and Clee. We anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, right now, Lord, I'll say personally, my heart is sad. But that's personally. And I thank you for this family. I thank you for all that they mean to us at so many levels of our life. Lord, all the adventures that we have had together, we praise you and I thank you. But Lord, today we ask your blessing as we send them out in the name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask God that you would go before them, that you would protect them, that you would multiply the ministry. Lord, that many people, as they are led in worship, will come to know Jesus because of the faithfulness of this family. I ask you, God, you go before them. Lord, we come with great praise in our hearts that you are Lord over all. And we trust in your sovereignty, Lord. Don't understand it all the time, but we trust in your sovereignty. And Lord, even as we pray for Kenny and Paige, Lord, I pray for Gary Strickland, Lord, today, as Gary will be taking up leadership here, and pray your blessing on he and on Lynn. I thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do. All praise, honor, and glory are to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to